The following episode is rated E for explicit and contains language that may not be suitable for everyone. Discretion is advised.
Hold on to your butts.
Let's get ready to
ramble.
Welcome, Ramblers, to episode 9 of The Rambling Geek. That's right, we have officially beaten the odds and passed the average number of episodes that an indie podcast reaches before quitting. I am Mike, and with me, as always, the most trusty of sidekicks, Brian.
Holy podcast. Sorry.
Holy podcast.
Anything else? I couldn't think of anything else podcast or sidekicky to say. I'm sorry.
I was wondering if it was a bit degrading calling you a sidekick, but I thought it fit for the intro.
As long as I don't have to wear the short green pants and those little pixie boots that the Boy Wonder used to wear, then I'm good.
Deal.
You can be the pie man, I'll be the cupcake kid any day.
I don't even get that reference, but I'm going to go with it.
The earliest I could get a Simpsons in. You'll find it.
Oh, I'll find it. All right.
You'll find it.
Wherever injustice shows its ugly face, I will be there, for I am the pie man.
And wherever pie man is, the cupcake kid will not be far behind.
My geek card has been revoked already this week. I guess it's going to be continued revoked. I don't know. Anyway.
Probation.
Right. We are recording this a day after Zack Snyder's Justice League was unleashed on the world and about 30 minutes before the first episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier drops on Disney Plus. And if that wasn't enough, we're now just 1 week out from the premiere of the Invincible cartoon over on Amazon Prime. And a little scooch over that until we get to see Fight of the Century, Godzilla vs. Kong.
Let's get ready to rumble!
It's an exciting month to be a geek. So, with all that said, we're here to talk about geek stuff. The Snyder Cut is a little bit too new, so I've yet to watch it. But I did rewatch the original 2017 cut, The Justice League, and I'm going to ramble a bit on that. But first, good sir, what have you been geeking out on since our last session?
Not a great deal of geek. A little bit of a geek hiatus, I suppose you could call it.
Mm-hmm.
Been pondering a couple of thoughts, though I did have a nice geek Twitter moment, which probably everybody who's ever been on Twitter has already had before me in some form or another.
One or two,
I guess, yeah. There was a tweet from during the week, and it was just asking who fondly remembered or who remembered a series from about 1988, a DC comic series called Checkmate.
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
It was sort of clandestine government type agency, a little bit super soldierish. It's probably a bad way to describe it, but it was pretty cool. Ran for about 30 odd issues and written by the excellent Paul Kupperberg, who is a writer that I liked a lot. I liked his stuff a lot in the 80s. He wrote Doom Patrol, the run just prior to Grant Morrison. He wrote Arian, which is one of my favorite series ever, Arian, Lord of Atlantis. And anyway, I just fired back and said, yeah, really enjoyed this series. I'm, in fact, waiting on a complete run to come to me that I bought from eBay. And that was cool. And I got a couple of likes out of that. And then I got a like from Paul Kupperberg.
Whoa, cool.
Which I thought was pretty cool. And so I feel like I've almost been Twitter baptized. Someone has noticed something that I put out there. And then it arrived yesterday, the set. And it's great. And cool. I'm looking forward to diving into all of that. A bit of late 80s nostalgia. So that's probably the biggest, almost the only geek thing that I've really been involved in the past couple of weeks.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed that a lot.
I'm still waiting on my eBay purchase of the Nintendo 64 game.
Has that still not come yet?
It's shipped, but again, it's from France during COVID, so who knows?
Yeah. But it's a total lottery. It's a dartboard, just throw a dart on whenever you think stuff's going to turn up at the moment, all the way down here, I guess.
Yeah, but that's not to take away from your story. So have you started reading them yet, or is it too recent?
I've started reading the first one. Of course, you start at one, and because I never had a full run. I had the first few, and so I'm sort of reacquainting myself with all of that, and the rest of it's all going to be new ground. Yeah, but I really enjoyed it. It's typical late 80s. It's dense. You know, a lot happens. There's a lot of dialogue. Older art style, I suppose. Literally, they don't make them like that anymore. So I'm just enjoying the nostalgia trip and just refinding an old favourite, I suppose, yeah. Yeah, so that's me.
Very nice.
And then I did have one question which had been pinging around in my brain just before we get to your, viewing experience this week. Because we were talking last time, I think it was, about The Mutants, which was the movie which is apparently on the Marvel schedule.
Yes.
And, you know, and with Pietro in WandaVision and all of that, you know, X-Men has been top of mind. Where's Alpha Flight?
Ooh, that I'd like to see.
Yeah, it suddenly struck me, and I don't know why I hadn't thought of it before, but I kept thinking mutants, and, you know, we'd been talking about how broad a story you can tell and how many characters there are to play with. Mm-hmm. And then it suddenly struck me, yeah, where's Alpha Flight?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice another way to expand. Yeah, and a mutant team that's not the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd like that. Plus, visually it's got some diversity
very cool
in
characters.
Too.
It does. Yeah, it's got diversity. I'm really keen to see what they would do with Sasquatch for one thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you get Shaman and you get Vindicator and Northstar
Puck.
And all of that. Puck, yes. Snowbird, I mean, come on.
I know you're not a wrestling fan, but I was watching some wrestling the other night, and there's a wrestler on AEW called John Silver, who's part of a faction called the Dark Order, and he is this short dude, but he's really built.
Okay.
So he sort of looks a little out of proportion. And I thought, man, that guy could be Puck.
Okay.
You know, he's not super short,
sure.
But he's shorter than the average,
mm-hmm.
you know, normal-sized man. I don't know. But, you know.
Shorter than the average wrestler?
Well, yeah, definitely. But those guys are usually quite big anyway.
Mm.
And I thought, man, that guy could make a cool Puck. But then I still never thought in my mind, where's the Alpha Flight movie? So that's bizarre.
Yeah, I think that's just a whole door waiting to be opened.
Yeah, maybe I'll tweet a picture of him and see how much backlash I get.
Kick that off and see what happens. Yeah.
So here's a question for you.
Sure.
An Alpha Flight movie, so the team is Canadian, right?
Yeah.
So would this become a problem on Twitter if they cast non-Canadians?
Probably.
Yeah.
Doesn't everything potentially become a problem?
These days.
These days, yeah.
But surely you go for the right person for the role, right? You don't.
Well, true. Well,
plenty of Canadians play Americans.
Hugh Jackman.
Well, that's an Australian. Yeah, okay, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, he was cast a long while ago, and I was immediately thinking of him, of course, because Alpha Flight got introduced because they came looking for him.
True.
That was the point. It's like, yeah, we've come to get Logan back, Weapon X. Yeah, it would probably kick off some debate. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. We should have a think about fan casting for that movie and come back and talk about that.
I think we absolutely should. And there's lots of hooks into other things if you wanted to do it that way. You know, we talked before about how you hook in other elements of the X-Men. There's a Wolverine one if you want it. Marina was in there, and there's a Submariner connection.
Deadpool.
Yeah. See, there's lots of ways you can weave in there.
See, now you could introduce them, like, you know how the Arrowverse did backdoor pilots by introducing the Flash and then spitting him out into his own series.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you, like Deadpool, potentially you could introduce Alpha Flight. My only concern with that is they'd make them goofy to fit the tone of the Deadpool movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, there's ways you could sort of hint at these characters, as Marvel does anyway.
Yeah, you can drop things in. Yeah, I think it would be cool.
Just got to name drop the team.
Yeah, pretty well. Shadowy government figures from up north. Yeah, I think it would be good. And if I'm going to be really cynical, if they got to a point, you know, where they just needed to fill in a little bit of space in the movie or TV series or whatever you wanted to do, you could do what John Byrne did and basically have 5 minutes worth of just white and dialogue. You've seen that issue, right?
No, I haven't seen that issue. No, I'm just going to look it up.
You should look it up. Yeah, yep. It's like, yeah, in a snowstorm, and all it is it's, I think it's 4 or 5 pages of word balloons.
Man, that artist Scott got a sweet gig.
He did.
Maybe not the colorist so much. I don't know.
No, yeah, I got to wonder about that. It's like, yeah, just put your feet up for a little bit.
Hey, but so here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, I heard Falcon and Winter Soldier, which again, we haven't seen because it's probably debuting about now as we're recording, apparently is going to feature Madripoor as a location.
Okay.
So technically, there is a...
There's an in.
The first introduction of the mutant side of things, if we're not counting Wanda and Quicksilver.
Sure, yeah.
So I thought that was quite interesting.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, it right now won't be anything. It'll just be a place they're in. But if we see some superpowered characters there, then that has potential.
True. Just keep seeding these things in, drop them in there. Organically, it builds. I like it.
No, I'm just going to say right now, I do not plan to come back on every episode and start speculating with wild theories about what's going to happen in Falcon and Winter Soldier. But I thought that was quite interesting.
I did notice you worded that as you don't plan to.
I don't plan to say
that you won't.
No, it's true.
Because stuff happens.
Well, as soon as I watch one episode, I'll be on Twitter going, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But I'll be thinking of my
counter-argument because you know me.
Yeah, yeah. That's why before I tweet something, I have to run it through my mind to see where it's going to fall over. But yeah, so we'll save speculation until Loki comes because I feel like that show is going to be on par with WandaVision in terms of bonkers.
I'm so amped for that one. Really, really hanging out for that. Very keen on Falcon and Winter Soldier. Absolutely. But Loki, sign me up. All over it. Yeah. Fully.
Yeah, very good. And speaking of up north, as you were with Canada, now I'm no geographic genius, but I think going further up north, possibly, to Alaska, that's further north than Canada, eh?
I think.
Man.
And if we're wrong, we really apologize.
To all the Alaskans listening.
What do we know?
Yeah. Anyway, that was a terrible segue. I was trying to make that ramble naturally to the point that I've been watching a program called The Great North, and it is a animated series by Bento Box, who is the studio behind, most famously, Bob's Burgers. And I'm not sure if you have watched Bob's Burgers or not.
Couple of episodes, yeah.
Not a fan, or?
Oh, just sort of something I swung past, but neither a fan nor not a fan. Not...
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. It's a good show. Just putting that out there.
Sure.
The Great North is very much in the vein of Bob's Burgers.
All right.
But the cool thing is, one of the main characters is voiced by Nick Offerman in the most Ron Swanson role you could have without being Ron Swanson. It is the closest you'll probably ever get to getting more Ron Swanson, and it is glorious.
From the day we chew ourselves off our mother's umbilical cord to the day a wild animal eats us, we are fighters, born to wrestle nature itself into submission year after glorious year.
Yeah, it's a very cool show about a family who live in Alaska and the things they get up to. So, again, sort of like how Bob's Burgers is a family in a burger shop and what they get up to.
Right.
Same diff. But it's very funny, very cool, and I highly recommend going and checking out The Great North. I'm not going to talk heaps about it. I just wanted to throw it in there that I've watched it and I like it.
Another one to ponder.
Another one to ponder, yeah.
Cool.
Coming to you live from whatever podcast you're currently listening to, it's your boy Jay West with my co-host Mac East from the We Get Dub podcast.
What up, nerds? It's me, Mac East, and we got a badass anime podcast for you. We got hot sauce, we got hot takes, we got booze and banter.
And you can listen to us on all major platforms.
The We Get Dub podcast hits harder than a Goku gut punch.
So, other than that, as we already mentioned, I watched the 2017 Justice League the other night, and I had some thoughts, and I thought I might ramble a little bit about it. And I know you haven't seen it, and you don't plan to see it.
Nope.
So I'm going to just talk about it, and you can chime in if you want to.
I will. Should I thank you for watching it kind of on my behalf?
Thank me after I've watched the Snyder Cut.
I think a lot of people will owe you thanks when you've watched the Snyder Cut, but anyway.
I think a lot of people are going to watch that, and a lot of people just can't be bothered going and watching the original one. So
yeah,
if you are one of those people listening, then in advance I say you're welcome for taking this bullet. But I'm going to say something that I found interesting, right? Is that on this rewatch, I found there was a lot more I enjoyed than I remembered, if that makes sense. So previously I've said the only good things that came out of Justice League were the fact that Wonder Woman was in it. I quite liked their version of Aquaman, and there was that one scene with Superman being able to keep up with the Flash in the fight scene. For those who have seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. And we'll get back to that soon. But I found a lot more, actually, and I watched about the first 15 minutes with my wife in the room, because as I've said on the last episode, she's a bit of a fan of old Henry Cavill. And she was watching along, and she said, well, I don't actually see what's so bad about this so far. And I had to pause for a minute and go, yeah, actually, mostly so far so good. That was only 15 minutes in. Then I had to start all over again and watch that 15 minutes because I hadn't started tweeting. So, damn it. But anyway, I figure that I'm just going to sort of scroll through my tweets because that'll refresh my memory of stuff I'm going to talk about in more detail. Right, so Justice League, directed by, well, some of it was Zack Snyder and some of it was Joss Whedon, and some parts you can tell who was who. Right. So it opens with someone recording on their mobile phone. Post-battle, Superman, some kids want to sort of ask him some questions. My first thought, this is the opening shot of the movie, and clearly on the Joss Whedon side, because it has that terrible Henry Cavill CGI, which I happily posted a picture of on the Twitter just to show how bad it is. It is just, what I said on my tweet was, and excuse the language, fuck me, did the CGI guys not have a photo of what Henry Cavill looks like? The Snyder Cut will already be better for not including this. Honestly, it's like they closed their eyes to try and remember what he looked like. And that was good enough. It was terrible. I'm not going to harp on about it more because everybody knows. Go on my Twitter and see the photo, or just Google something like Henry Cavill Justice League mustache. You'll get a lot of cool pictures of Superman with a mustache, but also you'll get the horror that is what we got in the movie.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Now, in this scene, the kid says to him, does your S really mean hope? Because that was a terrible line from Man of Steel that they were forcing us to remember.
Mm-hmm. What's the S stand for?
It's not an S. On my world, it means hope.
And he said that, yes, it does. And he said it's supposed to be like a winding river or some crap, I don't know. And then he says, a good man once told me, talking about Jonathan Kent, said, hope is like your car keys. Easy to lose, but if you dig around, it's always close by. Fuck me. Honestly, Chris Terrio wrote this. He is so much better than this. I wonder if Joss Whedon wrote this line. Ugh. Man, I already hated Jonathan Kent in this universe. This did not help me like him anymore. Any thoughts on that, Gold?
I can't even picture Kevin Costner delivering the line.
Yeah, I don't know.
For one... I mean, you know, even with that, I really, really hated the way that they did Jonathan Kent in the Man of Steel movie.
Mm.
I think you said to you before, my worst depiction of him definitely on film.
100%.
For mine. Yeah, but I can't even imagine him. Fortune cookie line.
Yeah, it's bad. Somebody did mention today that is pretty much something a Midwesterner would say. And then I thought, yeah, probably, but you don't need to write it in the movie.
No.
So anyway, we moved on from there because, man. So then it goes to Batfleck. Now, this scene I didn't remember at all, and it's sort of a weird scene. I'm not going to go through the whole movie scene by scene, but this was, I don't even know, a very, you know, when we watched on the Heritage Film Club podcast that we do, we watched Batman 89, and we pointed out that it very much looks like it's on a set.
Yes.
As opposed to movies now, which are usually filmed in cities, like the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yep.
This really felt like it was on a set with a very heavy CGI backdrop. And I know these DC movies are very CGI, video gamey looking anyway.
Mm, yeah.
But this was really bad. And it was a weird scene because basically what it is, you know, you cut to this rooftop in Gotham City and this guy, this criminal, has burgled this place, and he's coming up out of the skylight. He's on the roof, and then Batman comes. Batman's perching on a gargoyle or whatever on a building opposite, looking at him. And it turns out this whole scene is just so he can hang the guy off a roof to cause him to experience fear to attract a parademon, which we've had no context for, except for that. Oh, was it Batman versus Superman that had the nightmare scene?
Yeah, had the nightmare scene. Yeah. Yeah. So the parademons turn up.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen that movie, you don't know what the crap is about to happen.
Yeah, I figure.
So the guy doesn't play it that he's awfully scared, like not enough to attract something that's attracted to fear, right? So it's just a bit of a weird scene. And it's got some really weird slow motion movement with Batman moving around. And, oh, it's just bizarre. But the parademon does look very cool. I'll give them that. So, yeah, that was a really weird scene just to introduce those, I guess. Then one thing I'll give this movie, and I was thinking about this the whole way through, whoever cast this movie actually did a really good job. These movies, I should say, the DC movies, because I really like Henry Cavill as Superman, regardless of whether the movie is good or not. And I'm just speaking for myself.
Yeah, no, likewise.
Gal Gadot, well, everyone knows by now if you listen to this podcast that I'm a fan. Who else? I like the Jason Momoa Aquaman. I haven't watched the solo movie because I couldn't get past the opening 10 or 15 minutes, whatever it is, with Temuera Morrison and Nicole Kidman. That was terrible. I couldn't even get to the Aquaman part. But I like him in this movie. And I had the same thought both times I watched this about Barry Allen. When I first see Ezra Miller in these movies, I'm like, no. It's sort of like what I felt about Tyler Hoechlin in Superman and Lois.
Right.
I'm just like, no, that's not right at all. Maybe it's because I really like Grant Gustin. But as the movie goes on, I really enjoy the character. Even though I said, I feel like he's more of a Wally West than a Barry Allen. It's almost like they're trying to make him their Spider-Man. You know, the quippy...
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, I'm with you.
Which he sort of is in the Justice League animated show.
Yeah, definitely.
But if I'm not wrong, that's Wally West.
That's Wally, yeah.
So I feel like they should have just... And it's... Geoff Johns produced this. I'm surprised it's not Wally West, to be fair, because I think he's a bit of a fan of that character as well. But I do like the casting. And Ray Fisher is Cyborg. He's fine. I just really don't like the character in this movie at all. But one thing that I think is very strong is some of the supporting cast, because Alfred is Jeremy Irons, which is really cool. And Commissioner Gordon is our favorite, J.K. Simmons.
Let's just cast him in everything, to be honest.
J. Jonah Jameson, Commissioner Gordon. Dude, I just want more. I really hope he's got more to do in the Snyder Cut, because he's only got basically one scene in this. It's a pretty good scene, though. So, yeah, I'll give credit where credit's due for the casting, because I think they nailed it. What else happened in the movie? Lots of stuff happens. All right, I then tweeted, Bloomin' heck, Martha, Superman's one.
Why did you say that name?
Has had a very rough ride of it in these movies. First her husband dies, then her alien son dies, and then now her farm's getting foreclosed on. Way to treat the one good Kent parent. Jeez. And then I said, damn, I forgot Christopher Nolan was an executive producer on these. Yikes. And as I said, Chris Terrio is so much better a writer than what he does in these movies. But I feel like his script probably got hacked up quite a lot, to be fair. Then there's the Wonder Woman scene. I said, oh, yes, with a U. Business just picked up. It's Wonder Woman time. And unfortunately, it starts with an establishing shot of her standing up on top of a statue, which is up on top of a building. And I was like, you're not Daredevil. I was like, that's just a really bizarre thing. Anyway, I let it go because it's Wonder Woman. Then there's a scene. The Wonder Woman scene is basically these terrorist guys go into this building. Maybe it's a museum. I don't know. I wasn't paying enough attention, I guess. And they're going to blow it up. And there's a classroom full of kids being held hostage in there. And the terrorist guy goes that the bomb is going to return man to the Dark Ages and basically cleanse the Earth, right?
It picks the bomb.
Yeah, right. This is what I'm going to say, because Wonder Woman picks up one of the dudes with the lasso of truth, so he spills the beans, and he goes, it's too late. That bomb's going to take out 4 city blocks. I'm like, how is that big enough to return us to the Dark Ages? On top of that, Wonder Woman, there's a really cool bullets and bracelet scene. Sort of like, nice. You know how we talked about the pilot episode of the Linda Carter one?
Mm-hmm.
And the old granny takes out the Tommy gun and, you know, fires it. It's sort of like that. This guy has a machine gun, and he's sort of spraying along the line of kids. So Wonder Woman is moving along the line, bouncing the bullets off her bracelets.
Right.
Okay. It's very cool. But my first thought was, if I was that dude, I'd start shooting the other way, because she's already got the momentum. She's not going to be able to just turn around. Anyway, she lassos the bomb, throws it up into the air out of the building before it goes off. When it explodes, I was like, even that wasn't 4 city blocks. Anyway, nitpicking.
This is starting to sound like a little bit like someone's been using the random dialogue generator.
Yeah, right? I feel like this is a very clunky way of going through Justice League, so I'm trying not to just read my tweets, but it's just the easiest way for me to remember, so you just have to bear with me. Now, I did make a point. Ben Affleck is a good Bruce Wayne and a good Batman, for my money. I don't know what you think. Do you have thoughts on him?
I've only seen him in the one, and it's probably coloured by the fact that I really hated Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
I remember thinking he was pretty good, though.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah, I think for that Batman that they'd pitched in there, I thought, well, I get the Batman that you're doing. I think he's good.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Cool. And I think he plays both parts well. So I said, so now we're cutting to Sweden or some Nordic country. I don't even know if Sweden's a Nordic country. Geographically challenged, as I said before. So I said, he makes a good Bruce Wayne. Then it cuts to him in this, town hall, and he's addressing the townspeople because he's looking for this stranger from the oceans, the Aquaman. And he's standing there going, Yeah, so if anyone, I'm paraphrasing, but if anyone knows how I can find him and blah, 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 I'll pay money and rah, rah. And I'm sitting there going, right, you're a good Bruce Wayne, but you are not a great detective. Because if you're looking for a stranger, who could it be in that room? Probably the hulking brown guy in the extremely white fishing village in Europe. Then I put a cool gif of Big Bird and that song from Sesame Street. That's like one of these things is not like the other.
One of these things is not like the others. One of these things doesn't belong.
Ah, I thought that was clever.
I want Big Bird in the Justice League.
Oh, nice.
That's my fan moment.
Didn't you send me like a meme today? Like a Muppet Justice League? The Jim Henson cut?
I did.
Yeah, see? Everything balance. So cool. All that, whatever. One thing I found bizarre, though, obviously, I assume anyway, Bruce Wayne does actually know that that's Aquaman the whole time. You would hope. Aquaman, he grabs Bruce and puts him up against a wall when Bruce basically calls him out as being Aquaman. Mm-hmm. And he really looks like he's a little bit scared. And I'm like, nah, that doesn't ring true, because this is a Batman mm-hmm. who's been Batman for a long time, right? It's supposed to be a Batman mm-hmm. who's nearing the end of his career. Mm-hmm. So this is a Batman who potentially has fought Bane and, you know, Joker and everyone.
Yeah. Not bothered by a parademon.
Yeah. And, I mean, Bane alone. Mm, if you've taken Bane on, are you going to be scared if this Hawaiian dude picks you up? I don't know. Maybe it was just bad acting. But I want to say no, because it's Affleck and I love Affleck. He was the bomb in Phantom Zero. Hey, can I say something as an aside?
Go on, then.
This was a $300 million budget, apparently, which is insane for what we got. And it only made $637 million or something. I looked up the Snyder Cut, and it says the budget is $70 million. And I call bullshit, because you've already spent $300 million on half that movie.
Yeah, I think you've got to add on what you had at the beginning, right?
Yeah, you can't just go, this was $70 million.
To kind of recut it.
Yeah.
Or are you just saying what it cost you that much for CGI and editing?
Yeah, that's probably. That's how you have to.
Feels like creative accounting to me.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, anyway. Yeah, so then they start talking about how there's these mother boxes lying around and stuff. And there's a cool line from Alfred when he says, one misses the day when one's biggest concerns were exploding wind-up penguins. And Bruce says, the simple life. I thought that was nice.
Nice.
And that was really good. Then we cut to a little bit of a Cyborg intro. And guess who plays Cyborg's dad? I don't know why I'd make you guess, because why would you know? I'll tell you.
Go on then, please.
It's Joe Morton.
Oh, Terminator.
That's it.
Terminator 2.
Joe Morton. When you need to cast someone to invent robots and shit, he's the guy.
Hmm.
Although the whole Skynet thing didn't work out so well. And I've got to say, I really dislike the character design of Cyborg in this movie. It looks like utter rubbish. That's probably why he wears clothes most of the movie. It's that sort of like, you know when you watch the Transformers movies?
Yeah.
And it's just like not really distinguishable. It's just this looks metal and we just put a whole lot of scrap together or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Hard to explain. Well, watch the movie or Google him. You'll see what I mean. But, I mean, they got the face right. It looks like what you expect Cyborg to look like. But when you see his whole body, yeah, not so good. Anyway. Yeah. Then you go back to Themyscira, you find a mother box that opens up, and enter Steppenwolf, the bad guy of this movie, who looks like utter crap. And I said, the special effects guys on this movie should seriously consider different jobs. Steppenwolf looks like he's straight out of a video game. What a waste. Terrible. That is some shitty-ass CGI. It looks like when you go back and watch Lord of the Rings now, oh no, The Hobbit, one of them, mm-hmm. and you see that white orc, and it just doesn't really look, it looks like a video game character.
Yep.
That's what Steppenwolf looks like.
Not quite Doomsday bad, but still bad.
You know, when you see, and again, I'm not DC bashing and comparing to Marvel, but you know when you see Thanos in the, you know, it looks like he fits.
Yeah.
You know, you could believe that he's standing there with, like, Robert Downey Jr. in them. This is like, no. He looks like he's straight out of a video game. It's just, man, when you watch this movie back in a private screening, do you not just go, ooh, probably should do something about that?
Yeah. I don't think it's DC bashing either, just as a mild tangent here. I think when someone sets a bar, it's up to you to meet it.
Yeah. I mean, this was before.
Do you know what I mean?
This came out before Thanos, but.
But yeah, was that
well before the
even before the teasers of Thanos though?
Yeah, true. No, but before Infinity War and stuff,
and even beyond that, you know, look, like I say, the competition sets a bar. You're going to meet it. If you don't, then you'd be prepared to have people going, "What did you do?"
Yeah, I think my thing is if you're spending $300 million on a movie, then if you're going to have a CGI-heavy character, you have to make it look like it's integrated.
You got to commit to it, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to make it fit, absolutely, yeah.
It's one thing having all your backgrounds and your locations look like they're CGI, but
yeah.
A character that has to interact, it really takes me out of the movie.
Yeah.
So I wasn't happy.
For as much as we kind of pick in at Man of Steel, I think one thing you can say about that is that it all fits.
Yeah. Well, I don't like the whole Krypton stuff at the start. I think that's really terrible. But
there's some weird design choices, but I think it's all kind of on point, you know. And when the Kryptonians turn up later on, and I keep coming back to Doomsday, but there isn't a Doomsday moment where you go, ah, you're taking me out of it.
No, and that's because the bad guys are played by humans.
There's lots of stuff going on with spaceships, and you're destroying large parts of the city and all of that, and there's no clunky bits where you'd go, that just looks out of place.
I'm going to say something right now, too. I think Man of Steel is a bad Superman movie, but I've sort of started in my mind thinking maybe it's not that bad when you compare it to what's come after it.
In comparison, okay.
Yeah, because there are some really cool stuff in that movie. The fight with him and Zod in Smallville is really cool.
It is.
Superman himself, where he's at the fortress and he bends down to take off, and you see all of the snow shifting and stuff, and then he pops up into the air. Yeah. All the flying stuff looks really cool. So there is a lot of good stuff in that movie, just some very bad characterization choices.
Yeah. I like Man of Steel to a point. I mean, you know, we've been down this road before, you and I. You know, the stuff I like, stuff I don't like. I like more than I don't. It's not my favorite of the Superman movies, but yeah, I think you're right. It's the bits where it breaks are the character bits.
Yeah, and it's got a great Martha Kent, as highlighted in this Justice League movie. Yeah. She is way more on point than that other guy we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. He who shall not be named, until I forget that I said that and name him. All right, so then I said Steppenwolf even moves like a video game character. Where did all the CGI money go? Oh yeah, to erasing the moustache from Henry Cavill. As I just said, Diane Lane as Martha Kent is on so many levels way above Kevin Costner as Jonathan Kent. Oh, I just named him. See? Broke my rule already. Damn it. Man. But yeah, she is
and
really
in fairness
good.
To Mr. Costner, because Mr. Costner, he tries so hard.
He does. And I actually like Kevin Costner.
Yeah. I don't think it's the acting.
No, it's the writing.
It's completely the writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally the pitch on it. But
I'm just going to say this right now. Never, ever, ever would Jonathan Kent say, yes, maybe you should let people die. And now I'm putting in my own brackets, even if it's for the greater good. He would never say that.
No.
Man, that is poor.
Not from anybody who's ever read a version of Jonathan Kent ever, or seen Smallville, or frankly, any other depiction.
See, I don't even think the Smallville Jonathan Kent would say that, and he's not even...
This is what I'm saying, exactly. Yeah. There isn't. I can't think of a version ever that would have come close to that. That was never the point.
No. My wife's biggest problem with Man of Steel and Jonathan Kent, and she's not a comic person by any means, there's the scene where the tornado comes, and this is how they kill off Jonathan Kent. The one version that doesn't have him die from a heart attack, he dies by tornado.
Yes.
And my wife's whole problem is, that's Superman. He's fast.
Faster than a speeding bullet.
He wouldn't just stand there and watch Jonathan Kent get sucked up by a tornado, because Jonathan Kent's like, no, don't show people your powers.
You can't let people see you, yeah.
He could move fast enough that people wouldn't see.
And as you pointed out, in this movie, from what you've told me, he keeps up with the Flash, right?
Oh, yeah, there's that end credit scene where he... Yes.
Yeah, he's fast.
Yeah, he can keep up with the Flash. So, yes, he's not like he's going to run over to the truck as the tornado's coming and then bring him back to where he was standing. You just keep running.
You just keep...
And take him somewhere away from the people.
Yeah, nobody. It's not even a comic book thing. It's just a logic thing. Right?
Dude, if you can get past the fact that he takes off his glasses and you can't recognize him, you can accept that he can run fast enough for people not... It is such bullshit writing. I'm sorry. It angers me. That is one of three movies I've come out of the cinema actually angry about. The other one was this Justice League. Anyway, carrying on. So, Wonder Woman's back, carrying the movie and all the exposition that comes with it, because she's the one that gives us the whole backstory of Steppenwolf and something I'm going to bring up later. Actually, I'm not going to bring it up now, but there's a cool scene. Well, not cool. Very Lord of the Rings, when they're explaining the mother boxes. They're like the forces of, or the tribes of man, and then the Atlanteans and the Amazons and whoever else is in DC, including the Green Lanterns. so props for putting in some Green Lanterns, banded together to drive Steppenwolf from Earth so he couldn't turn it into the hellscape of his home planet. And it's very Lord of the Rings, because then she goes on to say, after we drove Steppenwolf back, made him retreat from Earth, we gave one box to the Atlanteans, we gave one box to the Amazons, and one to the tribes of man. I was like, dude, did you just copy the script from Lord of the Rings? I was like, dude. And, of course, the Amazons go and lock it up properly. The Atlanteans go and lock it up properly. And what does man do? They just bury it shallow in the ground.
They put it under the dam. No, wait, that was Transformers.
They literally dig a little hole, and that's it.
Wow.
Useless, man. Come on, people. I feel bad to be human.
In the section where she's explaining it, I'm trying to picture it in my head, is there any kind of Kirby nod in there? Is there any kind of Jack Kirby nod in there? Because if not, that feels like an opportunity lost.
I feel like there is a mention of the New Gods somewhere.
Yeah, but even like from a visual point of view, I mean, even showing Apocalypse and it's got the fire pits and you know.
No, it didn't show that because he was on Earth.
Right, so wow.
Yeah.
Like some sort of, I think there's a couple of visual things you could have done in there just to, you know, tip the hat kind of thing.
Okay, I'm going to say this again because I want it to be very clear.
Mm.
I'm not always the best at paying attention, so maybe, but I feel like the answer's no.
Yeah.
But, hey, correct me on Twitter if I'm wrong, but I feel like, yeah, there was no real, I don't even know if they dropped Darkseid's name at that point. Yeah, just a waste. Anyway,
okay.
It was an overly CGI'd scene, which the only cool thing was showing a Green Lantern. And he used his ring to swing a giant hammer, and I went, yes. That right there is already better than the whole Ryan Reynolds movie.
Man, there it is.
So I'm hoping in the Snyder Cut we get more Green Lanterns too. Yeah, and so then my other problem with that whole exposition was that the first time Steppenwolf came to Earth to conquer it, it took all the tribes of men, all the Atlanteans, all the Amazons, Green Lanterns, and it even says a few gods to force him to retreat. Now, it's only going to take 5 dudes. Well, 6, because Superman comes back. Spoiler. I should have prefaced this by saying the S stands for spoilers.
I thought it was hope.
No, it's, you know, it's car keys. Anyway. Now, there is a cool scene, and this is where I sort of changed my mind on the Flash in this movie, even though I still stand by that it's more of a Wally than a Barry. I find Ezra Miller in this role to be rather entertaining. And there's a really cool scene where Bruce has gone to recruit him, and he's basically broken into wherever he's living at the time. And there's a really cute scene when Barry walks in and, you know, he turns the lights on and Bruce Wayne's sitting in his place. And he goes, "Who are you?" And he goes, "I'm Bruce Wayne." He goes, "And that's supposed to explain why there's a stranger in my room?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that's quite good. Bruce throws a batarang, goes into slow motion, Flash catches it or whatever, and goes, "Oh, you're the Batman." And then he just basically becomes a fanboy. And it's quite charming. I like it. So I do like that scene, but I freaking hate the Flash suit in this movie. Why would he have a suit made of armor? I don't feel like that's the best thing for a speedster.
No.
They do explain that it's made of certain things for certain reasons and stuff, but basically it looks like armor, and I'm not down with it. So, eh.
If I understand it correctly, in this movie, Bruce tells everybody who he is right off the bat, right? Sorry, no pun intended.
Actually, I didn't pick that up, and that was good. Do you mean all of the superheroes?
Yeah. Uh-huh, well, Bruce Wayne. You might know me as Batman.
Yeah, well, he's already met Diana.
I know secret identities have kind of been abandoned pretty much everywhere these days, but come on.
Well, that was a Marvel thing, right? They just eschewed that straight away from the beginning.
Yeah, and now I think, but even like in the comics, I think they're doing that now. I mean, Marvel's never really been, they haven't done them for a while, and I think even, doesn't everybody know who Superman is now? Anyway, sorry, sidetracked. It just seems like they've just kind of abandoned it because it's too hard.
I feel like amongst the superheroes, they all know who each other is. And there's no cool scene like in Justice League Unlimited when Batman says, "I know who you all are," and then he names them.
Hold on a second here. What about the whole secret identity thing? I mean, I trust you guys, but I'm not sure I'm ready to...
Wally West, Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne. Show off.
Yeah.
And that's one of the best scenes.
Basically, it takes the entire season.
Yeah, but it's such a good payoff.
I know, the whole first season, it's like, yeah, the only Superman and Batman know who each other is.
It's actually Justice League before it became
Justice League.
Unlimited.
Yes, when the Thanagarians turn up and they invade.
Oh, that's such a good storyline.
Brilliant.
They should just make these movies based on those cartoons.
I think we should just go back and watch the cartoons, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, there that's you just go. Me. Actually, that might be due for a rewatch. Might talk about that later. All right. So then I remembered they go to Russia in this movie, and I was like, oh, yeah. Then we get Commissioner Gordon with J.K. Simmons, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's really cool. Then first full hero shot of Cyborg, and I said, looks fucking ridiculous. So I moved on. And then the League sort of is put together. They're all about to go into battle. They've all got their plans of what they're going to do. And it very accurately points out that Barry Allen's never done this shit before. He's just some dude who knows he has these speed powers, but he's never been a hero. And he turns to Batman and says, full transparency, I've never done battle. I've just pushed some people and run away. And I thought that was so good.
That's not bad.
That was a good line. And basically then Flash just gets on the job training from Batman. And Batman says to him, all you've got to do is save one.
It's really cool. You guys seem ready to do battle and stuff, but full transparency, I've never done battle. I've just pushed some people and run away.
Save one.
What?
Save one person.
Which one?
Don't talk. Don't fight. Get in. Get one out.
And then?
You'll know.
Okay. Save one.
I was like, that's pretty cool. I didn't mind that. And basically that's what Barry does. He just zips in and out, rescues all the hostages while the other heroes do the fighting stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. Then there's this line, right? Bruce comes up with the idea of using a mother box. Oh, hang on. He has the idea of breaking into, I don't know, whoever's got the Kryptonian ship.
Star Labs.
And using a mother box with the technology of the ship to revive Superman, who died in Batman vs. Superman. Sort of, because for some reason at the end of Batman vs. Superman, all that dirt starts lifting up off the coffin for some reason.
Mm, yeah, never quite got that.
Yeah. So Wonder Woman's against the idea because she doesn't know what could happen. Basically, this is why Cyborg has become so cyborgy, so robotic, is because he was sort of powered by a mother box.
Oh, okay.
And the technology was. And so it keeps improving faster than he knows what he's learning. So he can wake up the next day and he knows all this other stuff he didn't know when he went to sleep. So Wonder Woman is sort of nervous about using it to bring back Superman in case it doesn't really bring him back in the way that they hope. And gotta say, good thinking, Wonder Woman. On point. So anyway, it's because Bruce has got this guilt, right, that he got Superman killed. And Diana turns to him and goes, you didn't kill Superman. At some point, even you have to learn to move on. And Bruce turns to her and says, did Steve Trevor tell you that?
Ooh.
And I went, oh, sick burn.
Cold.
But it's a way sicker burn after watching Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah, okay.
That makes it so much worse because that movie set before this movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, ouch. So yeah, that sort of rewrote itself in a whole different way. Then there's a photo of Kevin Costner, and I was like, oh, that's your Kevin Costner cameo. For all that is holy, just let us forget. Then they bring back Superman. Then it's the best scene in the movie where the League is trying to take on Superman, and Flash runs around the group in slow motion, and Superman turns his head in real time to the Flash. So he's as fast as the Flash. We talked about it. We'll move on. Then I said that Cavill is quite the specimen, because he's shirtless in this whole scene, you see. And by jingos, I said, shush, don't tell my wife, and then put a gif that says, she knows the deal. Then I said, Wonder Woman is so badass, she just totally stands up to Superman. Like, he basically does away with all of the Justice League, and it's him and Wonder Woman standing, and she totally walks up to him and faces him and just said, calm down.
I thought you were going to say for a second there that she walked up, she had a rolled up newspaper and she smacked him on the nose.
Might as well have. But the fact that she can just go up to him and is prepared to kick his ass, I thought that was just really cool. This is why Wonder Woman is the best DCEU character, in my opinion. Anyway, moving on. Superman grabs Batman, takes him up into the sky, and is basically choking him out. And he says, remember who you are or some bullshit. And then he's like, the world needs you. Then Superman, because he's a badass, goes, but does the world need you? And then I was like, oh, nice. Then he ruins it by saying, do you bleed? I was like, oh, should have just left it at the cool line.
Groan.
And then he drops Batman from very high up. But then when it cuts back to Batman, he's struggling to get back on his feet, and he quips, yep, something's definitely bleeding. And I thought that was humorous. Basically, then Superman flies off, goes back to Smallville. Lois Lane finds him, and after just one little chat, he's become good Superman again. Then there's an Aquaman with the lasso scene, and he starts telling us truths, and that's pretty funny. Then we go to Russia for whatever reason, because that's apparently Steppenwolf's Ground Zero, this random desolate village in Russia. That's where he's going to launch his attack on the Earth. And then I said, man, their third act, Justice League versus Steppenwolf, it's so CGI heavy and looks crap. It's basically a lot of sort of fighting the Justice League and terraforming this Russian city. And then Superman says to Steppenwolf, I believe in truth, and I'm also a big fan of justice. Honestly, that was my biggest groan. Upside is Superman had brighter colors on his costume. He looked more like Superman. Then I said, is Steppenwolf really the villain in this? Wonder Woman said earlier, he comes down and he tries to change the planet to reflect his homeworld, the hellscape that is his homeworld. When this starts terraforming, it's all flowers and foliage and shit. And I'm like, hang on, is he really the villain? Because he's made this village way nicer. And if that's a hellscape, I was like, I don't think these writers know what they're writing, man.
I asked for Apocalypse and I got New Genesis. Really?
Honestly, it's like that.
And did the Kryptonians try to terraform?
Yes.
Earth?
And that was long. Yeah. That third act of Man of Steel.
Let's recycle that. No one will notice.
Nah, but with flowers. So whatever.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, then they win and stuff. And...
They win and stuff.
There's a scene where Bruce Wayne and Diana, they walk into this building, and it's basically alluding to this going to be the Hall of Justice, which I thought was pretty cool. Because they said, oh, we could put a table in the middle with five chairs. Or he goes, or a table big enough to fit more. And I was like, oh, that's cool. That's foreshadowing nothing, because this movie sucked and we're not getting anything else. Anyway, still cool though. Then we get a mid-credits scene where Joss Whedon obviously hackneyed this in to give us a fan service moment where Flash and Superman are going to have a race.
Right.
And there's stakes. Superman says, if I win, you're out of the league. Barry says, if I win, can I just tell everybody? I thought that's pretty good, because that's exactly what you would want to do if you won. Then they take off from the start line, and it does one of those classic freezes to take us back to the credits. Then I forgot there was an end-credits scene, even though I've talked about it many times on other episodes, with Lex Luthor on a yacht. So it starts in a prison, and it's a shot of Luthor,
yeah,
air quotes, from the back. So basically a white bald guy from the back. And I think he starts laughing or something, and the guard turns him around, and it's shock, it's not Luthor. Because Luthor has escaped in one of his cunning plans or something. And I thought, what a wasted opportunity to not have him turn around and be Michael Cera, because that is the other Jesse Eisenberg, right? That would have been so funny and a much better fan service moment than Flash versus Superman in a race. Oh, what a waste. Anyway, then it cuts to the yacht, and the real Lex is on the yacht. Deathstroke is in a speedboat or whatever, and he boards the yacht, and Luthor basically says, they've got a league. Why don't we start a league of our own?
There's no crying in baseball!
I was like, I like that. And I like Joe Manganiello. I think I got it right this time.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Joey M, Big Dick Richie from Magic Mike, is Deathstroke. And he looks freaking awesome. Then he takes off his helmet. You know, they've given him the white hair and the white goatee like he is in the comics,
mm-hmm,
as Slade. But that looks a bit weird. But anyway, he looks cool. And he'd make an awesome Deathstroke. And we're probably not going to get that either now. Anyway, that was Justice League. There was a lot more I actually did enjoy than I remembered. The standouts for me were definitely Aquaman, even though he's not in it a lot. He's very surfer dude. Maybe that's why I like it. Not that I'm a surfer dude. I just like those sort of characters in movies. You know, Spicoli in Fast Times, Keanu in Point Break, all of that sort of stuff. And I did like The Flash and Wonder Woman. And there were a few cool action scenes. But overall, man, it's overly CGI heavy. It's some poor writing, some very poor dialogue in certain scenes. And it's only 2 hours, but it feels long, man. And I've got to watch a four-hour version, which by all accounts I've heard is definitely an improvement. But I'll make a decision, and then I'll come back and tell you. But yeah, anyway, that's it. I watched Justice League. I made you listen to my rant about it. That's all I have to say.
I was already glad I hadn't watched it.
Yeah.
But I'm even more glad that I hadn't watched it. I'm not glad that you did. I'm not saying that. But.
You know what, though? I'm actually glad I did, because maybe it's because I went in with way lower expectations this time,
mm-hmm,
that I didn't hate it as much. I still don't really like it, but I don't hate it as much. So
I wondered that during the week, reading tweets about the Snyder Cut,
yeah,
which is a thing. And I wondered how much of it, you know, there's really a lot of stuff going on there about the DC fans and people who are going to, you know, they're going to make it a success because they're all just going to go and watch it. You know, they're all going to and then give it ratings or whatever. I wonder how many people on both sides of this have already decided what they think of it.
Oh, 100%.
You know, beforehand, I mean.
Yeah.
And you know, as you would say, have a hill to die on in that they will not budge.
Oh, yeah.
And how many people might sort of spin somewhere in the middle and go, you know what, not as bad as I thought it was going to be, or perhaps less likely, not as good as I thought it was going to be. You know, and I wonder how much that colours all of the responses, and then you get lots of, perhaps some angry dialogue is going to come out of that, probably better than what you just watched in this movie. But, you know, I think a lot of that colours it, because people have already decided.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and it's I'm not really sure that I have a point in there. I just think it's interesting to go into something like that, and you've already decided. Makes me wonder why you bother.
Okay, so I was part of a conversation with a few other geek-centric podcasts earlier today, and I was trying to explain why I think the DC movies have not been great.
Mm-hmm.
That's putting it nicely, and I was trying to be fair. And actually say real reasons, right? Not just like, they're crap. And
which sometimes would make you in the minority, I think, but let's move on. You know, being fair, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, we both of us have not shied away from saying how we feel about these movies.
Or about any movie, in fairness. It's not that we don't
tend
not to pick sides. You know, we're reasonably frank about what we think about pretty much anything.
Yeah, we also don't like Guardians of the Galaxy too. So there you go.
That is also true.
Mm. Right, so anyway, I was having this conversation. And then I tried to say what I honestly thought in my mind, and what I said on the last episode, is that I plan to go into the Snyder Cut with an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
Then I said in my message, but is that true because of all this other stuff I've already said about Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, Justice League? Am I really going in with an open mind? I still want to think I am, because as I said, I did enjoy this version more this time, even though it's still rubbish.
Yeah.
But I really do want to go into the Snyder Cut with an open mind. I don't want to be going in going, this is going to be a load of crap, and I'm going to come back on the next episode and say it was a load of crap. I'm going in with the S stands for hope. And I'm going to have a little bit of hope, find my car keys, and man, I hate that line of dialogue so much. I can't keep bringing it up because it's so ridiculous. Anyway, yeah, I agree with you, but I'm going to try and go in and be fair.
I've just thought of one way you could look at it, and it probably sounds really tacky or very, very fake Yoda or whatever.
Mm.
But everybody is still referring to it as the Snyder Cut. Very few people are calling it the Justice League. And maybe if you can kind of wire your brain to go, okay, tonight I'm going to watch a 4-hour version of Justice League.
Yeah, well, the actual
maybe
official,
that helps.
Yeah, maybe the official title is Zack Snyder's Justice League.
It's semantics, maybe, but yeah. Mm. But it's everybody seems to be fixating on, and occasionally you'll get that bit of people who like Zack Snyder or his movies, don't know him personally, people who don't know Zack Snyder, or don't like Zack Snyder, I mean, and, you know, just going to watch a movie.
Yeah, and we should be very clear. People shouldn't be, you know, calling out Zack Snyder as a person. Shouldn't be calling him trash. You can call him a trash director.
It's the work, right? It's just
it's the work.
What you produce. You like it or you don't like it.
We don't know.
For whatever reason that might be.
Yeah, we don't know him. We don't know if he's a good dude or a bad dude. By all accounts, everyone seems to like working with him. And, you know, he hasn't been Me Too'd. So
no, he hasn't.
Let's give him some credit. But when we talk about him in a negative way, or me anyway, can't talk for you, I'm saying he is a trash director and he is not a very good writer either.
Yeah.
Saying
did not like the film that he's created.
Correct.
And that's okay.
The one movie I do like of his, and I think we've talked about it before, is the Dawn of the Dead remake, which was his first movie.
Yeah.
But again, that could be because James Gunn wrote it, and it could be the script carrying that movie.
Maybe.
I know you're not the biggest James Gunn fan either, but I like him. And he has been Me Too'd, or not Me Too'd, but, you know, controversy and whatnot.
Indeed.
Anyway. Yeah, so we'll see. I'm going to try my best. I want to try and be fair. You know what? It's definitely not going to open with no moustache Henry Cavill. So already my brain's going to be like different movie. So we'll see.
It's a good place to start then, maybe.
Yeah. And I've got to throw this in there as well. Clayton, who often pops up on our show for those regular listeners out there, for Clayton's Corner, is a fan of the 2017 Justice League. And he has watched the Snyder Cut. And he thinks it is amazing, and it is he thinks it makes the 2017 one look like trash, even though he likes that movie.
Okay.
But there's a little caveat. He's been sick all week with high temperatures.
He's probably claim delirium.
He's probably dehydrated from all the spewing and stuff he's been doing. So could be a fever dream. So
I feel like there's going to be a Clayton's Corner rebuttal in here somewhere in the future.
Oh, there is. Next time he comes on, he's going to ask us. I know he plans to watch it many more times, so good on you, Clayton. But I don't know. I'm going in with an open mind. We'll see if we agree. That's all I can say.
Cool.
Right.
You've set the scene. You've kind of primed the pump here.
Yep.
Next thing is Justice League, the Snyder Cut.
You know when I put these episodes out?
Mm-hmm.
And I put a little promo image, and I put lots of little pictures of sort of the things we've talked about.
Yep.
I guess it's just going to be a Justice League picture this time, right? Because that's been the majority of this.
Or it could be a picture of you, I don't know, on the couch watching Justice League. It would have been good if you'd taken some pictures of your reactions at some of this, because I think that would have been interesting as well.
Nobody wants to see my face. I would not do that to our dear listeners. Man, that's why we're audio only, people.
Look, indulge yourself. Just pepper it with pictures of Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. Terrific Wonder Woman.
Such a good Wonder Woman.
Hey, there you go. Hey, there's a positive for you. 4 hours.
More Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just am like, there must be a lot of new stuff because it's literally double the length.
Yeah.
So if I can get more Aquaman, more Wonder Woman, a bit more Flash, and some more of that Green Lantern magic, then I'll be down. Anyway, that's enough Justice League talk. After this podcast, the first thing I'm going to go and do is watch Falcon and Winter Soldier before I tackle the Snyder Cut. Because to quote the 30 Nerdy and Thriving podcast, who you can follow on Twitter at 30 Nerdy Pod, she said, "I just know that 45 minutes of Marvel is going to be better than 4 hours of DC." And while I stick to our thing that we're not DC bashing, I wholeheartedly agree with that comment. Plus, it's only 45 minutes or whatever it is. So I can do that, edit some pod, and then maybe get the first hour of Snyder Cut in. Yeah, so that's good. When are you going to watch Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Sometime over the weekend.
All right. So we can talk about
it. It won't be tonight, because, we definitely talk about it next time. This is one I'm, like WandaVision, planning on fully keeping up to date. Comes out, watch it.
Talk about it. Ready for the next one.
Yeah, fully.
Now, if I can somehow get you to find, well, I know where it is, but get you access to, that sounds dodgy. Hang on. If somehow, before the next episode, you can watch some of Invincible, then that'll give us something
keen on
more.
That. Really, really keen to see what that's like.
And I'm thinking.
Really promising.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that last time we had Justin on, he mentioned Invincible and the fact he was looking forward to it.
Yeah. I think it would be good to get that gentleman back and get his take on Invincible.
Right, so let's do this then. Let's try. Okay. We're going to watch Falcon and Winter Soldier. That's a given.
Completely.
I'm going to watch the Snyder Cut by myself. Probably with my wife. She actually wants to watch it, even though it's 4 hours long. And I think if we can get some Invincible in and we can get Justin on, that could make for a pretty fun episode next time.
That'd be great, I reckon.
Yeah.
Let's do that. It's time for that.
Let's do that. And then after that, we're going to bring Clayton back for Clayton's Corner. Sometime soon in the future as well, and talk about some original Incredible Hulk and Spider-Man stories, I believe. So that'll be fun.
It will.
So speaking of Invincible, if you want to check out the first 3 episodes when they drop next week, and then 1 episode every week after that, you can do so for free by clicking the affiliate link in our episode description and signing up for a 30-day free trial of Amazon Prime. It's free. You can cancel any time before the 30 days. But during that 30 days, you'll get to enjoy not only Invincible, but such comic book-based shows as the awesome version of The Tick, and of course, the mega popular, but not for Brian, The Boys. So if you want to check out some cool comic book stuff and get up to date with Invincible and come and join us while we chat about it next time, click the link in our description and get your free 30-day trial of Amazon Prime. I think that was a nice way to insert an ad. Quite naturally. There you go. Hey all.
You found your calling. New career.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So if you want comics, teas, toys, and collectibles from your favorite pop culture properties, be sure to visit our affiliate link in the episode description. I've done one nice little storefront, and any of the products there you want to click on will take you through to our affiliate people, and you can buy those things for no extra cost. but we'll get a little kickback and it'll help support the show. So the link is in the description along with the link for Amazon Prime. You can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram at TRG Podcast, and most actively on Twitter at The Rambling Geek. If you have had enough of me, which I don't blame you after this episode, you can follow Brian on Twitter at OldFanYells. So go and see what he's ranting about or posting, because maybe you can post some of those sweet comics you got in the mail.
Yes. Got to get some checkmate out there.
Yeah, nice. Grow the fan base of a 1980s comic. But you might find some fans in our listenership.
Nice.
So there you go. I'm going to give it a read. So do you have anything else you wish to ramble about?
No, I think that was us this week.
Yeah.
We've done well.
I apologize to not only you, but our listeners for being a mic-heavy episode.
I feel like it could well have been almost a kind of therapy. It's good to cleanse.
Yeah, it was sort of good to get it out. I do feel good, like...
nice therapeutic.
Yeah. I feel like somehow, you know, something's been lifted from my shoulders. A weight. Mm-hmm. Man, I stumbled all
it's
over
not
that.
Just, it's not just pop culture, it's well-being.
That's what it is. And if you haven't watched it, hopefully I've saved you the 2 hours and I've given you enough to get the gist. Go and watch the Snyder Cut if you have 4 hours. We're going to come back and talk about that next time. But if you need more geek to fill in your time between episodes, be sure to check out these awesome podcasts and follow them on Twitter. Go and follow Punch the Timeline at Timeline Punch, Comic Book Keepers at CBKcast, the FN Nerds podcast at FN_Nerds, and the Watching Comics podcast at Watch Comics Podcast, and that's comics with an X. These guys talk about really good geek stuff, probably a bit more succinctly than I do. Definitely worth checking out. Go and support some other indie podcasts, and then that should do you over until you come back to listen to us again. And with that, we'll be back in 2 weeks. I've been Mike. He's been Brian. We've all been geeks. And that's the best thing to be. Keep on rambling, geeks. We are out.
That's the end. Thanks for listening.